And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Jake Lyman here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody is off to a wonderful start. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, live in parts unknown. Joe Rex Road, a lot of concern about your status after the program ended yesterday. How are we doing this morning?
Yeah, I'm pretty soft. First of all, I'd like to apologize again. I think this every show I start with an apology. Is like, you know how my computer's broken?
Yeah.
So if you see anybody who's watching this, like I can't put the screen like any more back. So like I can't, and this chair is like it's a non-adjustable chair in my room. So like you're not gonna get the top of my head, I don't think. So I mean I'm trying, see, but it won't stay, see? So I went and I think PA looked and said the itchiness is good. Yes, there's the bullseye, so antibiotics just to be safe, but I think I'm probably fine. And I was just being a big baby and I just had a regular tick bite. But just in case, we're gonna knock it out. Did not stop me from, I put a little cortisone on my little boo-boo.
Nice.
And I put a little Band-Aid on my little boo-boo. And, you know, I walked like two blocks last night to go see, Kieran Culkin, Bob Odenkirk, Bill Burr do Glengarry Glen Ross.
Nice.
Like, okay, sure. Gotta love New York City, man.
So Rex Road is alive and well today on the program. Lots of concern after the program yesterday about the status of his tick bite, whether or not he was going to get to his destination on time. And it looks like all of those things are in the affirmative of good news for Rex Road. I was texting Paul Kuharski yesterday about what all was going on because he was very curious about what was going on. And, we talked about the urgent care visit you had, the ability to get to the airport, to get to your flight all on time. I gave your odds for success at 19.4%. And he took the under significantly. So congratulations to you for really coming through and proving us wrong.
Well, I'll tell you about the airport. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. So I, showed up to it. I still haven't got my real ID, but I have all my documentation that I got the real ID. I have the paper copy. I have all my, I brought my birth certificate. I brought my marriage certificate. I brought my bills from home. I brought my social security card. Brought my passport, which is expired because I'm an idiot. But I just had this big pile of stuff. And this dude's like, the gate agent, he's like, okay, well, I have to, just put your ID. Maybe it'll come up green. I'm like, okay. So he took my non-real ID, put it through, it came up red. He just looked at me and he said, go, just go. I said, thank you. I had just put cortisone on my boo-boo, and things just turned for the better. What a day.
What a day for you yesterday. Jake Lyman is with us on the program today. Ian is out today. He will be back tomorrow. Jake Lyman, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing great. Up nice and early. It's a good way to start the day joining you guys.
We got two Tigers fans on the program today. Rex Road and Lyman, all in on their Detroit Tigers, who have the best record in baseball at the moment.
That's right. I forgot Lyman was a Tigers fan.
Yeah, just completely randomly. But go Tigers. Great start.
You're welcome. I am not like Paul Kuharski gatekeeping fandom, so the more the merrier.
We got a lot to get into in the program today. Ben Arthur from Fox Sports will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and all things AFC South with him. An interesting trade idea that I heard yesterday thrown out there, and it involves a pretty prominent player on the Nashville Predators that we'll get into a little bit later in the show as well. So lots going on the program today. Joe, some college football stuff going on as well out there, which is going to be interesting to see where this ends up going from here. But, I am so tired, Joe, for the most part, of like laws and college football being thrown together at the same time. But here's where we are in the world of college football. So, apparently, as they're trying to sort through all this NIL stuff, and I saw a lot of chatter about this last night, and Danny White's name kept coming up as well. So They're trying to sort through all this NIL stuff, and Ross Dellinger put out this big, long thread last night of power conferences basically drafting a contract that would bind schools to new enforcement rules, require them to waive the rights to sue over decisions, things like that. Schools not signing may risk conference eviction. So Ross Dellinger put this long, big thing out about that. Andy Staples said, quote, "I talked to Tennessee AD Danny White about the state law and what this means going forward." So Tennessee's got a law that's coming, and he's got Andy Staples got a column coming out today. And he just says, quote, "Let's just say that I doubt certain schools and states will capitulate as easily as the conferences are hoping," which is code word for, yeah, I talked with Danny White, and he's not going to do any of these things that the conferences are hoping that they will do. Joe, your thoughts on the ever-changing landscape in college football, and apparently these conferences trying to draft a contract that binds schools to new enforcement rules.
It's just, I mean, I can't, give me a clown car and just let's cram all these people into it. It's mind-boggling to me that they think this will work. None of these things are going to work. This Deloitte, you know, judging the NIL deals and, it has to be real. Guys, you can't cap income. The courts have said this. You could sit here and try to have people sign a contract, to waive the school's right to sue over decisions. It doesn't matter. People are going to sue over decisions. They're going to win. Like, what are we talking about? I'm not going to pretend to be a legal expert, but I just know what I've seen, and it's pretty clear. We have gotten to the point where society, and certainly the courtrooms, the judges, look at these people rightfully, these young people playing this very lucrative sport as professionals, because that's what it is. They are laborers in a huge billion-dollar industry. You cannot cap their income unless they collectively bargain and agree to have the income capped.
Right.
So let's just keep wasting time with idiocy instead of just getting to what you have to get to, which, again, does not have to be a full-on, you know, management, labor, full employee situation, but it has to be a collective bargaining situation. And you can do that in a variety of ways. We're just wasting time with this garbage. And it really, we've talked about this, right? But like one of the things that people want, obviously, they just want it to go back to, can we just go back to under the table and bags of cash?
Right.
And seriously, because you're never going to stop the competition for the very, very best players with the schools that have to win. They have to keep their jobs. They want to make money. They want to win. These boosters who dole out millions want to win. So they are going to chase to the ends of the earth the top talent. That's always going to be the case. The market is always going to be there. It's always been there. This is not hard. But we're just going to make it hard with garbage like this. So, we'll get there eventually. But in the meantime, let's all run around and play grab ass for a few more years. Great idea.
I mean, I read this last night. I mean, this came out basically last night as I was starting to go to bed, and I saw this, and then I saw what Staples put out there about Danny White. He's like, let's just say that they're not going to probably go along with this. And it's interesting. Here's another tweet that Staples had in, as a part of his own three-piece last night. And the question just says, would the SEC threaten to kick out Tennessee or Vanderbilt for following their own state's law? We're about to find out. And it talks about, you know, Danny White talks about the law giving them, quote, protections from the legal and structural uncertainties of college sports. So if the SEC and the Big Ten and all these conferences are trying to get all these schools, and I think the goal is to get like all 70 plus of the Power Four schools to sign this thing where they're basically, you're just under the thumb of these conferences, that's not going to happen. Like, Tennessee and Vanderbilt are not going to be the only ones that don't go along with this. It's just, as you said, a total waste of time before you actually have to get to the real problem, which is collectively bargaining at some point and trying to find a way to solve the transfer portal, which, as we've discussed 1,000 times, until you get those two things figured out, everything else is kind of a total waste of time.
Yeah, and it's just, I'm just a little lost here on, like, we're talking about the conferences. And usually what the conferences do is driven by Well, it depends on what we're talking about, but like, sports specific stuff, usually it's driven by the ADs, and certainly the presidents too. But I'm a little confused here, and good reporting by Ross. Ross is on top of this stuff, does a great job. But I'm a little confused here by this idea of these conferences. And now we've already got an AD saying, I'm interested to see what Danny's exact comments are. I don't know if Andy's, column is posted yet, but I mean, they you would think that they would be on the same page, and this makes it seem like they're not at all. So that's good. That'll help.
Yeah,
That'll work out well for everybody.
that always works that well. So just the latest in college sports and college football to keep your eye on there. We'll see what ends up happening on that front, but it's just it never stops. By the way, Keith saying we need to stop burying the lead and how's the tick bite? We already talked about it. Rexroad's fine. Tick bite's good. Rexroad is alive and well as we sit here today. He's on antibiotics. Rexroad's going to be good.
It was super itchy, I will tell you, last night. So, I mean, I'm now to the point where I'm just telling you how itchy my boo-boos are. Okay. But it was very itchy. Right now, I have the cortisone. I put cortisone on again before I went to sleep, and I, put a new Band-Aid on, and I don't even notice it. So,
I mean, I had people sending
I
me
have the most
yesterday, like,
meaningless medical updates ever.
I talked about emu meat. Apparently, emu meat is like if you end up with one of these allergies, emu meat is a flavor that's kind of similar to beef, but is safe to eat for these tick allergies. I had people sending me like emu farms and all this stuff yesterday. I was ready to help you today. So I'm glad I don't have to.
Well, I mean, look, I'm first of all, I'm always up for trying another animal. And maybe real frankly, at my age, like I need to probably like pump the brakes on the red meat a little bit anyway. You know what I mean? So I might have to check out some emu meat regardless.
I mean, it's red meat, but apparently this particular red meat is safe for the tick bite. Why that is, I couldn't tell you, but apparently it is.
But it's a bird, so
Yeah.
yeah. It just looks red, but
It
I
just
mean,
looks
yeah.
red, yeah.
I
So.
mean, I've had the argument with Katie before where she's like, no, pork is white meat. I'm like, Katie, it's not white meat just because it looks white. This pork chop, this is red meat by definition.
Rexroad is alive and well on the program. We'll take your thoughts, your well wishes for Rexroad, 615-737-1025, our phone number. We are off and running, and Rexroad has found a survey that really speaks well of Titans fans. Do we buy it, and what do we make of fans in this state who have just been through the ringer as of late? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, you found a study that really speaks well of Titans fans out there, which I appreciate. Any positive news for Titans and Titans fans over what we've seen over the last couple of years, I think is good news. What have you found for our people?
Well, first of all, testing, testing. Do I sound better?
You sound the same, but it's good. It's fine.
Oh, well, what the heck? Okay, sorry. Yeah, well, I've been getting bombarded with these emails, and this is from CanadaSportsBetting.ca. Okay, so we get some Canadians pushing, Canadian betting going on, but they did this study on the NFL, not the CFL, the NFL. And it came away with the Titans as the number two most loyal fan base. Now, this is their methodology. Since 2000, the attendance trend in your worst season. Okay.
Okay.
So, you take it with probably more than a grain of salt and a lot of factors. But in 2014, which was their 2-14 season, they actually, excuse me, saw a 3.6% increase in attendance. The Titans did. So the best was the Vikings with a 6.9% increase in their bad 2011 season. Now, I will ask, as I remember, it was probably in this time frame, wasn't it, that the Titans were still holding on to that sellout streak?
I believe so.
And that was kind of became sort of a controversy because it was like, how are, maybe a little bit of fluffing the numbers
Yes.
type thing going on. Yeah, so that's one thing where, you take this with a grain of salt, but the fact is, this does mean that in 13 they had less attendance. They had an average attendance of 66,000. They had 68.5 in 2014. So this is their, so by that measure, if a team, if attendance goes well in your like your bad season, you're the most loyal, most committed, which is the Vikings, Titans, Dolphins, Steelers, Raiders. Dolphins in 2007, Steelers 03, Raiders 06. The least committed fan bases, the Detroit Lions. I would argue that it's one of the craziest fan bases around, but in that delicious 0-16 season of 2008, they dropped 11% attendance. I'm actually, I mean, you think from the year before. So they went from an average of 61 down to 54 plus.
I'm stunned
And
it wasn't more.
I mean, right? Good for every single soul who went and watched that team in 08. My God, what an absolute bleep show. Then they drafted Stafford off that, though. So that was a decent year to go 0-16.
I
So,
think that
and
was the
you
same year the Titans scored about 80 points on them in the Thanksgiving game.
Yes, absolutely remember that. So it's interesting because then you go through this list of the least committed, which again is just basically if your attendance went down dramatically in your worst season, you got Lions, Jets, Bills, Rams, Bengals. I would argue that Lions, Jets, and Bills fans are among the most fervent
I
in
would
the
agree.
league. I don't know. I'm not sure that this is an accurate portrayal of Titans fans, and I'm not trying to rip Titans fans. I just don't know that this means a ton, but I thought it was interesting. And they keep emailing me, so now I can email them back and say, I just said this on a radio show. Thank you.
It is interesting, and to your point, I mean the Titans, boy, I mean when you start thinking about some of those fan bases you just laid out there, the Jets and the Browns, those teams had a lot of down years. I mean, at least the Titans, I mean, relatively speaking, it wasn't that long ago when they had a relative amount of success. We'll see if Cam Ward can propel them back there. But you have thrown the question out there, which is an interesting one. Yesterday we talked about, which team in the fall is going to have the best season as it relates to the expectations out there relative to expectations. And you're throwing the question out there today, which fans in this state are the most loyal? Which team has the most loyal fans in this state? I mean, the pro teams are on a run right now, Joe, as we know. I mean, the Predators fans was awful this year. Titans fans have been through a couple years now, which have been awful. And now they have hopefully their savior of their franchise coming up in the quarterback. We know that Tennessee has a massive fan base. Massive fan bases and loyal fan bases aren't necessarily always the same things, but sometimes they are. Vanderbilt, their fans have been through a lot, and they got a little bit of a payoff this last year on the football side of things, sticking around, being through that, going through the Alabama game at home, and all those things. So we're throwing the question out there today: which fans in this state are the most loyal? It's an interesting question, Joe Rexroad. A lot of crossover between some of these fan bases as well.
Yeah, like my first instinct is to just jump to Vanderbilt just because, in particular, and actually, I mean, basketball had a bad run recently too, and I think better days are ahead there. But just the football, I think you go through losing like that in just a situation where for the most part it just looks so hard to win. And you're a small fan base, and it's that this is how it goes. I mean, fan bases are built on winning. I mean, look, I still believe we've talked about this. I think the Preds and that run 8 years ago gained fans for them, added fans that are probably still fans because of that. I mean, I've heard that from people who are that. But Vanderbilt just doesn't have that, I mean.
Right.
They have the occasional. They had the little couple years there with Franklin, and here and there, but I just feel like that the serious loyalty for the people who go out there and sit through it. And again, last year they got rewarded with such an exciting year, and now they actually have this exciting preseason. But then again, I mean, Tennessee fans, I mean, my goodness. Yes, they were spoiled at a certain point, right? Well, from the, basically from the mid-90s. For about a good decade there, I would say probably a top five program in college football. I think that's a safe assessment, and you have a national championship, and then, you know, the long period of just, you know, bungle after bungle after that. And so I don't know. It's an interesting, there's no question. It's a much bigger fan base. How do you judge those two loyalties against each other?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's very different. Like, you know, Tennessee fans, the part about them that's really interesting to me is, like, if you give Tennessee fans the slightest window of hope, they show up in droves, right? Like, the minute that baseball yes. started to be good and, like, compete for, you know, you felt like you had a chance to win in the SEC and the national championship, I mean, the fan base exploded, right? Like, the minute that it looked like Josh Heupel knew what he was doing and that there was, you know, a coach in there that has somewhat of a clue, like, there's a long list to get in for, like, Tennessee season tickets. Like, at one point, I haven't looked lately, at one point it was, like, 10,000 deep to get in on Tennessee season tickets. So, like, Tennessee has always been a fan base, especially recently, that I think has been starved to the point where, like, if you give them a reason to think that you might actually be good, like, they are all in at that point. But is that loyal? Like, is that loyal? I think it's passionate, but the loyal part of it is, like, there are obviously a ton of loyal Tennessee fans. Like, I just feel like when you first asked this question, the first thing that came to mind to me was, like, the Vanderbilt football fan who has been through thick and thin with this team, that's seen a lot of crap out there, and that they were in the stands, they were there for, like, Vanderbilt's win against Alabama last year. And just, like, how rewarding that feeling must have been based on everything else that they had kind of seen and went through as a fan. Like, that's the first image that came to my mind when you threw this question out there, like, that Vandy football fan that's been going to games for 35 years, that's seen their team get kicked up and down the field countless times, and it got paid off with that Alabama win last year.
Yeah. Jimmy Wyatt, you know, he had a strict, incredible streak. I forget what the number was, where he did not miss a Vanderbilt Tennessee game. I mean, he went to and graduated from Tennessee, and yet wearing that Vanderbilt hat, and you know, there's a guy, he and his family, they have their tickets forever. Like, there's someone who, you know, that's who gets rewarded. Like, that is just true loyalty through, you know, your school, through all those years, you know, covering the NFL and still finding a way to, like, fly like a red eye from California after covering, like, a, or you're going out there after the Vanderbilt Tennessee game, you know, the, but I mean, we can find people Tennessee fan base too, and of course more, because there's just more of everything in that fan base. A couple texters rightfully pointing out this study. Another issue here is just how many of those tickets are bought by visiting fans. As we know, that's a big deal here. And I'd say that was probably, I mean, it's been a while, right, that this has been a strong tourist destination, but that's probably when it started really getting intense, don't you think?
Yeah,
about a decade ago, decade plus ago in that range. So there's another thing to keep in mind. It's flawed.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, throwing the question out there, which fans in this state are the most loyal? We'll continue to take your thoughts on that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Scranton Wilkes-Barre at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Throwing it out there, which fans in this state are the most loyal? We have a lot of different opinions on this so far. 615-737-1025. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. You'd say I'm pretty loyal, right?
Like, of course.
Especially to this station. Like, I am loyal to this team. There's days I go by where I feel like I'm the only Titans fan in the state. Like, I don't know a whole lot of other Titans fans in my personal circle, which is incredible. I think that's a horrible statistic. Like, there's no way we're the most loyal. If I look at it, like, I think about when the Vols hired Chiano and how much we tripped over that. And, like, yeah, it was a really dark time for the program, but And I didn't agree with them doing like treating that dude like that, but it just goes to show they were like, we're not having that. So I think it's got to be Tennessee football. Like I don't know. I've talked to a lot of people who love sports pretty constantly, and I'm one of just a few Titans fans that I know. So I think it's a horrible stat. I don't think it's right.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. I don't think there's any question, Joe. Like in terms of looking around the state, if you're trying to identify like the largest number of most rabid, passionate fans, it's Tennessee football by mile. Like I don't think it's really close when it comes to that. You know, we had somebody text in that says, you know, I talked about Tennessee. Like if you give them a little bit of hope, then they just show up in droves. And somebody says, well, if it takes hope to show up, then it's not loyal. It's what have you done for me lately? Vol fandom is transactional. I could see you saying that, like, but I've also, like, I've been in Neyland Stadium when they're not any good and it's pouring down raining and they're playing, you know, I don't know, LSU or whatever it is. They're down by 25 and you look around and there's still 100,000 people in there. Like, they have the largest fan base by far, and Tennessee fans are incredibly passionate. You know, Vanderbilt, somebody on YouTube, Brandon on YouTube, says it wasn't that long ago that Vanderbilt's attendance was a Twitter trope, like tens of fans in the stands. You know, Vanderbilt certainly does not have the same fan base that Tennessee has. But when you ask this question, I just thought of, like, those Vanderbilt fans that are there and that are there all the time and that did go through all that stuff and then get paid off with the Alabama game last year. No one's going to argue that Vanderbilt fans like have – there are more Vanderbilt fans that are loyal than Tennessee fans. I just thought of those people immediately when it comes to like people who have actually been through a lot of crap who stuck around and got somewhat of a payoff on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, it's a smaller fan base. So, I mean, like it's like you're just judging the – I guess the percentage of it that's loyal, right, which is – I mean, obviously we'll never come up with a full answer, but it's an interesting discussion. You know, Vanderbilt fans, I would definitely argue in favor of their loyalty, hanging in there with that program. I actually remember, I want to say it was 2019. I wrote about this at The Athletic because it was the first time I had ever seen the lower seats on the home side, which is typically like there's fan, you know, that's a lot of families, but also like donors, like that's where you always know. You know, the other side is where obviously a lot of visiting teams often have taken over, but like on that side, there was Georgia red pretty significantly. And I'm like, I'd never seen that before.
Yeah.
You know, and at that point it had been, you know, they're starting to go the wrong way, you know, under Derek Mason, and, you know, he was fired after the next season or late in the next season. But it's pretty good loyalty. You know, we also with college sports, we have other sports too. So think about Tennessee. Now again, football drives everything, but like Tennessee, like men's basketball fans, they pack that place now and it's a huge arena. I mean, to me, it's just way too big for a college hoops arena, but they pack it now. Look at baseball and what they do. I understand how a lot of people say, well, it's just bandwagoning from winning, you know, but what was it like when it wasn't good? Vanderbilt. So Jake, you do a great job. You know, calling Vanderbilt women's basketball, which is a surging program. I think they're going to be a top 10 to top 15 team going to next year. What have you seen on, like, you know, in your time as far as like that fandom?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's growing, and you get big wins like Vandy did against Tennessee last year, beat them twice for the first time ever, I believe was the stat, that they had never beaten Tennessee twice in the same season before. So you kind of hope with that, and, you know, Michaela Blake's coming back, Camille Pierre coming back, that building's going to be a lot more full for those games this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, it's the college sports part of it is interesting because, as you know, somebody's pointing out, you know, the Vols have multiple championships in multiple sports, so I think it has to be between the Titans, the Preds, and Vandy. It says Vandy does have baseball championships, but they still would trade that for football championships. I mean, you've got so many different options in college. Like, I mean, I would say this, like, if you're a pro sports fan around here and you've, like, the Titans have had periods of success, right? Like, they've not had a Super Bowl, but they've been to one Super Bowl. They've had different runs where they've been good teams, playoff teams. You know, Predators have been largely a playoff team since they got here, right? Like, after they got through that opening kind of expansion team funk of the first 5 years. They've been a playoff team basically ever since then, with the exception of like 4 years, right? So, like, there have been different types of success. They just have not – they've not seen championships, right? Like, there's been no championship with the Titans and the Preds. So, like, it's not like – like, you threw out the Browns or the Jets, right? Like, the Jets have a Super Bowl, you know, 50 years ago. But, yeah. Like, the, you know, the Jets haven't
almost
been –
almost 60.
When's the last time the Jets made the playoffs? It was like – is it 10? 2010? Is that the last time? Yeah, like it's you know, the Titans are not that. Like, they've not been through that long of futility. I mean, even think about the Lions, Joe. I know the Lions the last couple of years have had an unbelievable run of success, and they've been a really, really good team. Think about the Lions before, like, the last 2 years. What's that been like? You know, right? Like, it's been just an absolute, you know, tire fire out there.
No, I mean, look, in all seriousness, I would put up Lions fans in any discussion of fan loyalty. They are sick people. I mean, I've tried to help some of them, but they are sick people. Like, they think – and I mean, good for them for finally being rewarded to a point, although they're never going to get a championship, so it's still going to be like this empty feeling. But it's incredible. Like, it's incredible how like, – that to me is – that's how you judge loyalty. It's – are you still there? Do you still have hope? Do you still show up when it's bad? And so they've been bad so much that it's an incredible fan base. And again, this is where, like, with Tennessee, I understand some people saying, yeah, you know, obviously, like, you can look at, like I just pointed out, you know, baseball, you know, men's basketball, they flock to those. That's not what I'm talking about. But I think hanging in on football through all this stuff and still believing this one will work, this will do it. You know, I mean, what else is loyalty than that, you know?
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text lines about the most loyal fan base in the state. Plus, a situation continuing to brew in the NFL that I am very interested to see if there is a resolution at some point. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, the Trey Hendrickson situation in Cincinnati continuing to be very interesting. Trey Hendrickson is 30 years old. He's led the NFL in sacks the last 2 years. And does not yet have a contract extension with the Cincinnati Bengals. So the Bengals this offseason have paid Ja'Marr Chase. They've paid T. Higgins. No deal as of yet with Trey Hendrickson. Hendrickson showed up last week to the OTAs but did not practice and was on the sideline basically holding court with the media for like 25 minutes about his contract situation. So that was interesting in Cincinnati.
I like it.
This is how it's these fast when these type of discussions come up, it's always interesting. So all I did, Joe, I just Googled Trey Hendrickson. Let me just tell you about four things that come up. Bengals Trey Hendrickson getting listed as a trade name for the Packers. This is from Yahoo Sports. Got another website that says NFL experts won't shut up about Trey Hendrickson and the Commanders. Another website is Trey Hendrickson in play for the Bears. An insider has an update. And in the NBC Sports, Trey Hendrickson, if he doesn't blink, is on track to be Hassan Reddick 2.0. So a lot of different takes on the Trey Hendrickson situation in Cincinnati. Now, reportedly, he has been offered $28 million per year. Now, as you know, Myles Garrett signed an extension earlier this offseason where he's getting paid $40 million a year. So that's quite a gap between the $40 million and $28 million. Now, frankly, you know, I know Trey Hendrickson has led the NFL in sacks. I think Myles Garrett is a better player than Trey Hendrickson, but that is quite a large gap. What do you make of the contract gap between Hendrickson and the Bengals? Do you see a situation this gets resolved? And do you think Hendrickson will actually sit out the season if he's not paid what he wants, which is what he said that he will do moving forward?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I've always sort of looked at this like, yeah, okay, it'll eventually happen. Like, we had Adam Kaplan on, and he was like, yeah, you know, this is all posturing, it'll get done. But he's definitely convincing me when he talks, and the fact that he's out there like, hey, you know what, let's go ahead and get this out to everybody who wants to write about it and talk about it. Let's get with the media and use that as a weapon. I mean, good for him. I mean, use what's at your disposal. But I agree with you. Myles Garrett is a better player than him. Is Myles Garrett a 33% better player than him? Which, if my math is correct, that's roughly the AAV difference there.
That's a good question.
I don't think so. So I don't blame him at all. I mean, like if I'm him, and I understand. Look, it comes down to give me the guaranteed money is really what matters in these contracts. But still, these guys look at what this guy makes per year, what I make per year. How do we compare? And if I'm Trey Hendrickson, I'm pretty close to Myles Garrett. Like in my production, the last 2 years is what it is. So I need to be closer than that. Definitely closer than that. I'm still going to predict that they figure this out, but this is the notoriously the cheapest franchise in sports, a franchise that frankly got bailed out by Joe Burrow. I mean, a franchise that makes it like they don't pay extra scouts. They make their coaches be their scouts. Like, I mean, a franchise that's the only one owned by a non-billionaire in the NFL. So we've seen a lot lately of they've actually picked good players recently. And so now they have this issue of, yeah, you need to now pay them like fairly and match up with the rest of the league. And by the way, you're not one of the drivers of the NFL economics. You really aren't, but you get to share in all this money. So you have to keep that in mind too.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if there is a resolution here, or if they're just hardline that they're not gonna budge on what the contract is. I mean, the complicated factor here is he is 30, right? So, I mean, it's not a great time for his contract to be coming up. He's got 1 year left, and he's 30 years old. So, how much are you gonna commit to Hendrickson beyond this? The Bengals. I've been guilty of this. We kind of include them over the past couple of years in the conversation with Baltimore and Kansas City and Buffalo because of their quarterback, right? Like Joe Burrow is so good that we include the Bengals in that conversation. I mean, the last 2 years, they've missed the playoffs. Now, albeit Burrow was hurt the first time, but last year, like their defense was awful, which led to the firing of their defensive coordinator. And by the way, their defense was awful with Trey Hendrickson being as productive as it was. So, like, if I guess you could view that a couple different ways. One, you could say, well, Trey Hendrickson, as good as he was, didn't really help us win all that much. I kind of view it this way, Joe, of, well, I'm glad you paid your offensive players, and Joe Burrow was awesome last year, and his numbers were unbelievable. But if your defense was that bad with Trey Hendrickson, is it going to be worse without him next year? How much? Do you think you're getting back in the playoff picture and being a legitimate threat to win the AFC next year if you don't have Trey Hendrickson rushing the passer? It's hard for me to get there with that team.
Yeah, and look, I don't think Lou Anarumo forgot how to coach either. So it's just they have massive issues. They've tried to address some of them. We'll see how they did this offseason. But yeah, how are you? As much as it's great to keep those pass catchers with Joe Burrow, I mean, I would prioritize that. I would prioritize that over Trey Henderson because that's directly affecting the happiness of my great quarterback. So I but have to do that. But again, man, like last year, the dude has an MVP level statistical season and doesn't sniff the playoffs. So you might want to give him a little bit of defense. So I don't see how losing him achieves that for you. Like you're absolutely as bad as they were. Well, especially early. I mean, they did make a little run late, but you are in your window. You're in your window right now for sure. So this is why you keep a guy like that. Whereas, I know Titans fans, we've had the discussion about just like I'm sure every fan base in the NFL, like, ooh, what about Trey Hendrickson? I mean, this is a place where to me it doesn't make any sense at all.
No, not at this time. Like, if the Titans are still in a window of contention, then maybe you do put together some sort of package. But I think Trey Hendrickson at 30 years old, to me, if it's not in Cincinnati, there's going to be a team that is a contender and feels like they're a pass rusher away that puts together a rusher there. Let's say that this ends up not working out and Cincinnati, like, it just gets to a point where it's so toxic and they have to move on and they just decide to trade Trey Hendrickson. Like, if I'm Joe Burrow, and this is just me, maybe he views it differently, but I said this to start all this and I stand by it now. I would, if I'm the Bengals, I would rather the Bengals have paid Ja'Marr Chase and paid Trey Hendrickson and let T. Higgins walk than just going with, you know, paying the two receivers. Like, you don't really see teams pay the two receivers that often. Like, I know A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are getting paid in Philadelphia, but it doesn't really happen that much where you're paying both receivers. I would have probably just gone with, all right, I'll pay Trey Hendrickson, I'll pay Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Burrow, we can go find another receiver. We'll draft one.
Yeah, that makes sense, and that might have been the way to go. It seems like Burrow doesn't seem to think that T. Higgins is just some dude who's riding the coattails of Ja'Marr Chase.
Agreed.
You know? So at least he's happy. But, yeah, I mean, you could definitely have made the case to do that. I mean, I still think they're ultimate. You have to figure this out if you're the Bengals. And I don't know if he's really going to go through with it. But if you're the Bengals, you have to figure this out. Like, you just can't. There's no excuse, you know, for letting a great player just walk on a side of the ball that's so lacking in great players. When you have Joe Burrow and you actually have a chance, I think a lot of people with him are going to pick them certainly to be a playoff team this year. I mean, I think they'll be a playoff team this year. But if you take him out of the equation, I mean, how are they not one of the worst defenses in the NFL?
I mean, they drafted Ja'Marr Stewart, who, as we know, had 4.5 sacks in 3 years. So maybe that'll change their fortune at the NFL level.
I mean, and he may, you know, I mean, he definitely could be good, but, you know, good enough to compensate as a rookie, yeah, that's asking a lot.
615-737-1025, our phone number. There was an interesting trade idea that was thrown out there yesterday by Elliot Friedman as it relates to the Predators. That got me thinking a little bit. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.